There's a Mickey Mouse clock hanging in my kitchen, probably still ticking. I've taken quite a bit of stick about it over the years. Mickey Mouse on its face, with his big open smile and wide eyes, walking in place with boundless joy and enthusiasm, surrounded by numbers. My friend Christy used to shake his head when he'd see it. "The clock's got to go, Paddy," he'd say. "It's probably not the right clock to have on your wall when you're 42 years old. But for me, Mickey's the patron saint of getting out of the soup with your spirit intact. No matter what's thrown at him, no matter how hairy things get, his happy demeanor never fades. He walks away with a whistle and smile every time. I've been to quite a few funerals in my time, more than most people, having been around the trade all my life. My father was a coffin maker for one of Dublin's largest undertaking firms, and I followed him into it, ending up making the arrangements and running the funerals. I always liked listening to the eulogies delivered after the Mass was finished and the congregation was settled back into their pews, waiting for a few words. A few years ago, I stood at the back of the church with my boss, Frank Gallagher, listening to a guy talk about his brother, who died at the age of 28 in a drowning accident. Everyone was pretty cut up over the loss, but this guy, beleaguered though he was, had a glow about him. Probably a few years older than his deceased brother, he stood at the pulpit with his John Lennon glasses and long hair. He told the church that we were all in a dream and that his brother had woken up. "This misery of a gig called life is just a dream from which we all eventually awaken," he said. "Nobody gets left behind. Even the most horrible dreams end." And I never forgot it. My life had become pretty miserable towards the end. A nightmare, if you like. I'd gone from being a contented 40-year-old with a pregnant French wife to a disillusioned widower with nothing to wake up for except other people's funerals. My wife, Ava, died of a brain hemorrhage while standing in line at the supermarket in her 36th year. What do we do with that one, Mickey? Whistling and smiling didn't cut it. After that, enthusiasm seemed impossible. For a guy who wanted nothing more than to escape his grief, I probably had the worst job in the world. But I buried myself in it, nonetheless, if you'll forgive my saying so. I worked the week, 7 days. Frank Gallagher didn't want to give it to me at first. It wasn't the money. He'd have had to give it to somebody. He was worried about me running myself into the ground. But I assured him it was what I wanted. I needed to help other people deal with their grief so I could escape from mine. For 2 years I tried this, until I couldn't sleep anymore. Until I arrived at the last few days of my life. Until a set of circumstances so outlandish, so surreal, and so dangerous could only result in one thing. My death. My awakening from the dream. And my subsequent funeral, and cremation, and all the tears and regret that go with it. But not from me. I'm gone beyond it where all the madness, the chaos, the seemingly endless pain is behind me. And I find myself in a place of tremendous peace and understanding, of rest. And from this perfect, still place, I have total recall of my last days. I remember every single moment.